Well, the financial problems here, of course, are terrific, too.
You cannot... Don't annoy me with that. Because here are so tremendous foundations who give millions and millions to very, very well-deserving institutions. But music is also well-deserving. Music is in this country, unfortunately, more a distraction. You know, in Vienna, from where I come, music is the air which they breathe. It belongs to their life. It is very, very all important. I tell you only one thing: when the opera house was burned down, they built it up very soon after the war was over, and people have given money to build up the opera house before they took it for their own houses. And that is not a legend, that is really true. When I was in Vienna at the event of the opening of the opera house, so many people have told me that. And the whole reaction there, the opera is, good music is important. And here it is too, it's naturally here too, to very many people is important. Don't misunderstand me. There are tremendously many people who love music, really, and who love great music. But the population on the whole, you see, they are not conscious of it. And they should be made conscious in building opera houses. And the foundation jolly well should do something. I personally have gone to several foundations, have asked for money, for instance, for the Music Academy of the West. We have no money whatsoever. We live on a shoestring. We live rich people give us, but it is never so that one has money that one can live.
Endowments,
that's what I mean. And all the gentlemen in these foundations were terribly nice to me. And they all assured me that they would love to help me. But unfortunately, there is rule ABC, and it doesn't go because the rules are there. Now, yeah, I have always been a revolutionary in my life. I think rules are there that one just overruns them.
The problem is here, the Lyric Opera, they need, $450,000 this year to break even.
Oh, yeah.
Make up their debts and go on
yes.
to the next season.
Yeah, opera right. house is not a business. House. Naturally, one always loses.
Sure.
One always loses. But this Lyric Opera has subvention, hasn't they? Haven't they?
Have they what?
Have they not an endowment?
No, they're only 6 years old. You know, Chicago lost opera about 1945
or 6. Yeah.
And they finally started again in 54.
Yeah.
And they're bad straits. I mean, every year it's hand to mouth, you know. Until they get an endowment started. But getting one started, getting businesses interested enough.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
Yeah, it seems to be everywhere. So I shouldn't get so furious about the Music Academy.
Singers used to sing so many roles. I think Lily Lehmann, for instance, they say that she sang about 250 roles. And you, you sang Wagner and
Strauss.
Oh,
I have a very big repertoire. I sing, you know, in America, one at the Metropolitan and in Chicago, one has only known a very limited part of my roles. I have sung the Italian and the French repertory in Vienna, everything.
Well, do you think this limitation of repertory to Mozart stylists or Verdi specialists or Wagnerian stars, do you think that's damaging to the field of opera?
Jana, I tell you, it is nowadays so very different. Nowadays, one pays so tremendous attention to technique.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole time goes over mechanizing or something like that. It's not quite what I mean. But a singer with a brilliant technique is today really adored mostly.
Mm-hmm.
If I think of my past, I have never had a brilliant technique. I blush in shame when I listen to some recordings of people who play with their voices like the most perfect instrument. I think it's marvelous. Don't think that I underestimate mm-hmm. it. But sometimes I feel a little bit that the heart is missing.
And it's all too studied.
Yeah, it is very studied. And for instance, Wagner, the new style in Wagner, perhaps I am a very old-fashioned person, but I cannot quite go with it. I was in Bayreuth this year, and I saw this stylization of operas, where the singer really doesn't act anymore. Mm. The singer becomes a voice which is a part of the orchestra, and the figure is a part of the stage setting. But to me, opera is living drama, and that I miss very much nowadays.
Now, the Marshalin was the role that became most closely identified with you.
Yes, it's almost funny because I have sung so many other roles, but when one talks about me, one always talks about the Marshalin. It's very nice. I'm very happy that I am compared with such a regal personality. But sometimes I wish they would also remember my Elisabeth and my Sieglinde and Elsa and things like that.
What was your favorite role?
Oh, really, the Marshalin.
It was.
Marshalin and Sieglinde. I always liked those roles which were very human, where I could really be a human being. Arabella I have mm-hmm. loved very much. Fidelio I loved very much. There were quite a lot. Generally, it was always the new one which was my favorite.
You knew Richard Strauss, and you worked
very,
with him.
I have worked very much.
What type of a man was he, and how was he to work for?
He was very different as the type of a man and to work for. That was very different. Mm-hmm. As a man, as a person, he rather disappointed me. He talked very much business. He was a very clean and keen businessman. And he didn't give you this impression when you talked to him of the tremendous personality he really was. One had to learn to know him when he was at the piano. When I sang Woman Without Shadow, I sang the wife of the dyer, a very difficult role. And I was his guest in his house, in his beautiful house in Garmisch in Germany for 2 or 3 weeks. And then I really learned to know him and his family very well. And then really I saw the greatness of these men. Under the mask of a very everyday person. Mm-hmm. He was rather strange. You know, I met the son in München this year. I was for 4 months in Europe. I met him in München in the Arabella performance. And he wrote me a letter after that. And said, I think with great emotion of the time when you were a guest in our house and with which dedication you rehearsed with father, and that really nobody knew in the world you were here. You didn't make any publicity about it, what nowadays would be quite impossible. And he's quite right. I mean, I went there, I was invited, nobody knew it. Imagine nowadays a singer would be invited to, to Richard Strauss if he would be alive. Don't you think that all the papers, Life magazine, everything would bring it?
Yeah. Huge publicity.
Yeah.
Well, now, how does the singer know when it's time to give up a role?
Most don't.
Or give up a career?
Most don't. And I, thank heaven, had intelligence enough to know it and was always objective in my life with myself and was, I think, the severest critic with myself. When I was a young singer, you know, I had once an experience in Vienna, there was a tenor who was an older man and who really, has been once a great artist, but his voice had gone and he was really not good anymore. And he, they gave him his pension, his contract was nothing. He was terribly hurt and he always was sitting around there and told everybody who came of the an injustice which has been done to him and that he sings better than ever. And he was to me such a pitiful person that as a young person I swore to myself, this shall never happen to me. When I myself feel it is time and the whole world may say no, I will say yes. And that's exactly what I did. All my friends were upset when I, with a certain decision, said in my last concert, this is the last concert, I don't sing anymore. I feel it is time. You know, actually, I could perhaps really have continued, let's say, 2 more years. It wasn't so bad. But I was an artist who didn't want to sing and saying it's not so bad.
Well, is it that they don't actually know that they're dropping or they want to know?
They haven't enough self. I think that is it. And then also, you know, most artists cling so tremendously to the audience, to the public applause. They are so accustomed. And I must say, it was difficult for me. After I went away, it was difficult for me. I have missed that too, naturally, because the most beautiful music in the ears of an artist is the applause, you know that. But everything on earth has an end, and one has to resign. Perhaps I have learned from the Marshalin, who resigned with a smile, and I took her as my ideal, and I did the same. That doesn't mean that I didn't shed many tears, but I shed them in secrecy.
What makes an opera star? Now, there are a lot of really fine singers technically, but very few people reach the top where people really look at them and say, ah, there's a star, there's someone we really love and applaud and cheer.
Don't mix up the idea of star with somebody who is loved. I don't think I ever was a star. I don't like the prima donna assoluta. I don't like that. I always think have been loved. I think it is, a star has a great glitter, you know. You can be a star with great tricks and being, as a private person always in the limelight through exotic behavior. But that is for me not really on the top. You see, for me was always my highest ideal is simplicity and honesty. If an artist is very sincere and very honest, I think that the audience feels that very much. A glittering star may have tremendous success for a time, but I don't believe that it will be for very, very long.
They always speak about rivalries in opera houses between singers. Did you have any rivals, or did you know of any rivalries?
Yeah, yes. But I think they are great exceptions. I don't want to talk about that. On the whole, I think that performing artists are really comrades in arms. Mm-hmm. One is such a victim of accidents, of momentarily things which can happen. You can suddenly swallow wrongly or something, or you can stumble on the stage. I have always found that the colleagues help very much. There are some exceptions, but But they are known as exceptions, really, among the artists.
You sang so many places, Berlin, Vienna, New York, Chicago, London. Did you find audiences quite different from town to town?
Oh, I think on the whole, if you bring really good programs, I have had the strange experience singing sometimes in very small towns that I thought in the beginning of the concert, oh my God, if I would have known this year, I would have chosen another program. And it was a very high class program that went over beautifully. One cannot give a rule, you know, one cannot really. Look at Fischer Dieskau. Fischer Dieskau has the most high class programs, never any concession to the public. And how successful is he?
Are you going to come back to Northwestern next year?
I don't think so.
You're not?
No, I don't think so. I have made up my mind that that 50 years is now enough, and I will take it more easy. Not that I will stop teaching, but you see, in Santa Barbara is the Music Academy of the West, where I live, and there I can teach as much as I want to, with as little as I want to. I can choose my students, and I hope that perhaps those from Northwestern who graduate here and who remember me perhaps will come over there.
Thank you very much, Madam Lehman. Lotte Lehman, one of the great sopranos of our century.